change of plans. Oh, some people do. You ever been in a place where your trip has been neatly organized, all the elements of tickets and schedules are neatly figured out? And everything comes together, and then something happens, and the flight is canceled, the car breaks down.
A war.
We're speaking from experience. And the scrambling to change plans begins. I hate last-minute change of plans, especially when it comes to my Sunday morning plans. I like to be ready for Sunday by Wednesday evening at the latest, so that if something comes up, I have time to manage, and I have time to review, and I have time to go over it, and add notes, and make changes, and so on and so forth. All that to say that the message that is advertised in your bulletin for this morning is not the message that I have chosen to speak. So as we have mentioned already, that today is Pentecost Sunday, a day on the calendar, on the church calendar, where we're encouraged to remember the day, that first day of Pentecost that happened 50 days after Easter and 10 days after the Ascension. But anyway, at some point after Wednesday night, I began to be prompted to think more about changing my message to thoughts on the Holy Spirit. And it just seems that I couldn't get away from those thoughts because Alpha Saturday is coming up next Saturday, and it is dedicated to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it seemed every time I began to think about Sunday, I began to think about Pentecost Sunday and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And my own personal philosophy, and I've probably told you this many times, is that a church needs to be Spirit-fed and Spirit-led. And so in keeping with my own philosophy of ministry, I decided that I needed to change my sermon for the Sunday sometime after the hectic pace of the garage sale had started. Now, if we were to ask the question, why is Pentecost Sunday important? The answer simply is that it can't be covered adequately in one point. And maybe the first point that I would like to make about it is that it isn't really the day or the date or how long it occurred after Easter or how long it occurred after the Ascension or that it even appears in the church calendar. The most important point about Pentecost Sunday is that the Holy Spirit came. That it came in fresh power. That it came in a dramatic outpouring on those who were assembled in Jerusalem. So when it happened is not that important. Matter of fact, I would submit to you that when it happened is not important at all. What happened is the critical point. The Holy Spirit came. And secondly, the second point to remember is that it came as a fulfillment to the prophet Joel. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16 to 18, by the way, I've got a lot of material here to cover, and I insist on staying on Scripture, so I'm going to be reading a lot of Scripture as I do this, and I will read it quite quickly, so pay attention. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 16 to 18, and I want you to realize that every prophecy that has been fulfilled is important because it confirms the accuracy and importance of Scripture. So we read there, "Know what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit," please note this, "upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my Spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." The third reason that Pentecost is important is that this day came. This day happened. This day occurred because the apostles were obedient to the Lord's direction. We just read this scripture this morning, and I'm not going to read it again. other than the last phrase that says, "But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Don't go anywhere until the promise of the Spirit is fulfilled. First of all, in this text, we see a summary of the gospel. Secondly, we see that our Lord's intent, his intention is that the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for our sins, is to be proclaimed to all nations. And thirdly, the commissioning of the disciples who had witnessed the life and death of Jesus, they were to present the story. This was going to be their job. And then comes that instruction. Stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed, until you're clothed with the power the Holy Spirit would bring. Be obedient. Stay there. Don't move until you are filled with the Spirit. I love the word picture that is drawn here. The Greek word translated as clothed. We would never use that phrase today, would we? Clothed. It's translated elsewhere as put on 18 times. In other words, don't even attempt this ministry. Don't even think about this challenge until you have put on or until you have been clothed with the supernatural Holy Spirit power that will come on the day of Pentecost. And the fourth reason that the day of Pentecost is important is that the Holy Spirit power that was poured out on people changed their lives forever. Immediately, on the day of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit was poured into them, clothing them with that fresh power anointing, and subsequent to that day, their lives were forever changed. The influence and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the apostles' lives changed their demeanor completely. Far from their weak, meek, and fearful performance of the past, they became fearless and powerful as they preached and as they taught and as they witnessed for their Lord. This transformation was also in the fulfillment of the prophecy made concerning the coming of the Spirit with new power and intensity at Pentecost. Imagine Peter, who became the front and center in this outpouring, only a few days earlier, about 50 days earlier, had denied his Lord three times. I'm sure you remember that story very well in the garden. And now, 50 days later, after this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he's preaching to the Jewish people who incidentally were involved in putting Jesus to death, and he's accusing them of being guilty of murder. What an amazing change in the demeanor of Peter from that shy, retiring, fearful character who denied Jesus three times for fear of being arrested. And you know what? Here's what I really want you to grasp today. The outpouring, the infilling, the baptism, whatever you want to call it, the clothing, the anointing, is still changing people today, still changing believers today as they seek welcome and are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the fifth reason that the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit is important is that, yes, people were changed, primarily the apostles at this stage in history. The church was launched with Holy Spirit-filled people. People that were clothed, there's that word again, clothed in the new anointing and the new power that Joel had predicted hundreds of years before. And because of that, they were now equipped to take on that amazing challenge that we call the Great Commission. Take on the challenge of taking the gospel to all nations. Up until that point, they weren't able to do it, but now they have been equipped. And so we might ask, but well, that was them and that was then. What about you and I? What about today? What about Pentecost Sunday? What about the coming of the Holy Spirit in fresh power, anointing for you and I? And I want to assure you this morning through Scripture that it is, in fact, available to every believer. Looking again quickly at Joel's prophecy, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. In those days I will pour out my Spirit even upon servants." Joel's prophecy was not restricted to those days or one or more people group. Joel's prophecy was directed to all believers everywhere through all time through the last days. You and I can be clothed with the same clothing of power and anointing that the apostles experienced. I want you to consider for a moment, and I'm going to have to really rush through this, so I'm going to go quickly. If we consider the apostles' experience for a moment, we have no written record. There's no written record in the scriptures as to when, exactly when they were born again by the Spirit of God. Somewhere along the line, as they walked and talked with Jesus, they became Christians. The Spirit of God drew them to Jesus, and eventually they became Christians. We also can find cases in the gospel where the apostles experienced a different intensity or filling or anointing of the Spirit at different times in their lives. So the Holy Spirit's involved in bringing them to Christ, and then at other times the Holy Spirit is involved in recharging them, if you will. For example, after they had come to know the Lord as their personal Savior, we read in John chapter 20, verse 22, we read this event about the disciples. And they're just sort of out of the blue. Jesus says to them, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So this is subsequent to their coming to the Lord, to becoming believers. And then, of course, the best-known event, the Acts chapter 2 account of the events on the day of Pentecost. And so we're going to look at that, and I'm going to read this very quickly so we can better understand a bit of a pattern concerning what happened on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers, people who were already believers, had already come to know the Lord as their Savior, they were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there's this sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Every believer present was filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And at that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. Here's the formula of Joel's prophecy. And here we see again our Lord's intent that the gospel would be preached to all nations. And so there are people there representing all of the nations in that area. And we'll just go on. And they stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Interesting perspective. So let's review quickly what we know from this particular event. This was an assembly of believers. These folks had been saved or born again at some time previous to this event. Holy Spirit drew them to the Lord. But now, subsequent to that, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord shall call." Note that very carefully. If God, by His Spirit, has called you to a believing relationship with Lord Jesus, you've asked forgiveness, you've found forgiveness, you're born again by the Spirit of God, this promise is to you because it's included right here in Scripture. The baptism of the Spirit in that case was obvious to onlookers. Both those receiving and those observing were aware that something had happened. This infilling or immersion in the Spirit, as we have said before, provided the apostles new boldness to preach and teach and witness for the Lord. And the languages spoken by the apostles was a powerful supernatural sign to the onlookers. So now we move from that event, we go forward in the book of Acts to the next occurrence. It's found in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Peter and John have just returned to the believers after having been arrested and being threatened by religious authorities. Remember, new boldness now. And they gather together for a little praise and prayer meeting. And we pick up that, that particular prayer in verse 29. Please note, this is a prayer from people who were at the first occurrence. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. Many miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your Holy Spirit, or your Holy Servant, Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting was, place was shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. So this, once again, is an assembly of believers. They had been born again, they had been saved at some time previous to this event. And all people at this event, whether they had been at the day of Pentecost or not, were once again receiving a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the unusual sign consisted of the place being shaken. The prayer for boldness to witness, the answer was another infilling or immersion in the Spirit. I hope that we as believers, as part of the believers that came after, would be praying the same prayer. Lord, fill me once again with a new freshness, with a new anointing, with new power of your Holy Spirit, that I might be able to carry out your will and purposes for my life. Give me more boldness. Give me more boldness to share my faith. Anoint my words that they will find root in people's lives. Give me boldness to pray for healing as we have witnessed here this morning. And now we move forward to the next occurrence. It's found in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 19. Philip had shared the gospel in Samaria, where many responded and were saved and baptized in water. And we then pick up the story in verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they had become believers, had become saved, had become born again, they sent Peter and John there. And as soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Peter and John laid hands on these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. So we see again the pattern received. People have come to know the Lord, been drawn to the Lord by the Holy Spirit, been saved, been born again. And at a subsequent time, they received an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that the Spirit was given and the apostles laid hands on them, he offered them money to buy this power. So again, it's basically the same pattern. It's on an assembly of believers. They had been saved and baptized prior to the arrival of the disciples from Jerusalem. And yet they were all filled with this new ordinance. And now as we move on to chapter 9, the first part of the chapter covers what had become in Christian circles as well as secular circles, as Paul's Damascus Road experience. In a nutshell, Paul meets Jesus on the road, acknowledges him as Lord and Savior. And we are left to believe that that encounter with Saul on the Damascus Road was a place and a time where he was genuinely born again. He's temporarily restored, rendered blind, and Ananias is sent to his aid. And we note that Ananias says in chapter 9, verse 17, "So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared unto you has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Spirit.'" Once again, subsequent to his salvation, he is filled with the Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell off from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. And then he got up and was baptized. And afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. So again, we see that same pattern, and I'm not going to go read all of that for you and catch it on the screen here. And so then we move forward to Acts chapter 19, and we pick up the story right at verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus. Now this is the guy who was saved on the Damascus Road. This is the guy who was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the guy that was clothed with the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit to deliver the message of the gospel. And so he comes to Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers, already several believers. And so he says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" "No," they replied. "We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." "And then what baptism did you receive?" he asked. And they replied, "The baptism of John." And Paul said John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. And as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. And they were about 12 men in all. See the pattern? People came to know the Lord. They became Christians. They were believers. And subsequent to that, they received the message of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came on them very similar to the way that he came on the disciples. So now we've looked quickly, and I apologize for the quickly, but you can check it out again. I'm basing this entirely on Scripture. We've looked at every case where the Scripture indicates that a person was filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we can summarize some common points from this study. First, it would seem that in every case when somebody was baptized or filled with the Spirit, it was at a specific time subsequent to their salvation. Secondly, in most cases, there was at least one unusual sign that confirmed that the individuals were indeed filled with the Spirit. So what can we conclude from what we have learned today? First of all, a new powerful dispensation of the Spirit was prophesied by the prophet Joel hundreds of years before Acts chapter 2 happened. Then, after doing all these things, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my Spirit even on servants, men and women alike." The Holy Spirit wasn't given for the exclusive use of the apostles. The Holy Spirit is given. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is made available to all believers everywhere for all time. Secondly, John the Baptist reaffirmed this prophecy and declares that Jesus would be the baptizer when he said in Matthew chapter 3, "I, John, baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Peter affirms in Acts that this new dispensation of the Spirit is underway. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16, he says, "No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet." The promise of the Holy Spirit was a promise made to all, and this seems to be the case in the Acts account. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, Peter says, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Jesus teaches his followers that God is willing to give the Holy Spirit to those that ask. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus says to his followers, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Holy Spirit, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask?" This is a promise to you and to me and to every believer. Jesus also teaches to be persistent in asking. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus says, "Keep on asking. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." While the Spirit's ministry is evident in several ways in Acts, the key reason seems to be boldness for fearless witness. The Acts account of baptisms in the Spirit consistently depicts this baptism to be after salvation. Supernatural signs, such as speaking another language, frequently accompany the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So why, as we celebrate, as we observe this day, Pentecost Sunday, why is it important? First of all, as we said, it's important because the Holy Spirit came. Nothing that I can see that's particularly important about the fact that it was 50 days after Pentecost or that it was 10 days after the Ascension. The important fact is that he came. Secondly, it is a fulfillment of prophecy, confirming the veracity of the Word of God. Thirdly, it came in obedience to the disciples who were told to remain in Jerusalem, and they did, patiently awaiting. Fourthly, it changed people, and it changed churches. It equipped the church for its mission. So why is it important to you? Why is it important to see that this promise is to all believers? It's important to you because he can. He will empower you and give you the boldness that we read about in the books of Acts. It will give you that power to share your faith. The Holy Spirit can change your life and the direction of it. So up until now, I have absolutely stuck completely to the scriptures to share what I believe the message for today really is. I do want to share with you a little bit of my own experience. I say this to say my experience is my experience. It's not your experience. You need to walk where God is calling you to walk. You need to be open in your life to what God would do for you. I can honestly say that there was a time and a place. I could take you to the place. Can't remember the exact time. Wow, years fly by so quickly. I can take you to the place. I can take you to the place, but it happens to be a center now where you go to have your eyes tested and get your eyes open. If the altar was still there, I could take you to the place. God filled me with his Holy Spirit. That's just my experience. I know it's true. I know it's true, and I know this, that he changed my life. And he changed the direction of my life. I would not be here today. I would not have ever preached a single sermon if God had not filled me with his Holy Spirit. I don't know what your experience is. I just want you to know that the Word teaches, as we have shared this morning, that the promise is to all. To all believers. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Your life can be changed. You can be anointed. You can be empowered. And that's why I celebrate Pentecost Sunday. Because it's real and powerful and meaningful in my life. Amen? I hope that it's meaningful in yours. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share today. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that was given through Joel so many years ago. Thank you that it's still being fulfilled. Thank you that there was a partial fulfillment on that day of Pentecost. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit was poured out and it changed people's lives and it changed that early church. That they had changed ours too. I thank you, Lord. I pray your blessing on this people today. I pray that you would, through your Spirit, give us a yearning and a desire for more, to grow more in your Word, to be filled with your Spirit anew and afresh. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.